At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Logan Weber in for Cody a couple times over the next week. Again, if you missed the show yesterday, all the best to Cody. He is having a procedure done. He will be back on Wednesday. We'll have to bug him tomorrow. Drew wants to call him tomorrow live on the show to see how he is sounding on pain meds and everything
Let's make sure that the Vicodin or Oxycontin that he's on is not a reaping.
Have you had hernia surgery before?
No.
Okay. I didn't know.
I've never had surgery of any kind.
Never? You've never been knocked out?
No.
Good for you.
No. Like, even when I had my wisdom teeth pulled, they just numbed me.
Whoa. So I've never had my wisdom teeth taken out, but I guess, do you have a choice? I thought they just gave you the laughing gas and knocked you out.
So did I. We were still living down in Springfield at that point, and like, I made the appointment. I was like completely miserable. I came in. I fully expected them to put the mask on me and put me to sleep. Nope, they just injected me with lidocaine and then just completely awake and aware of what was happening while they went to town on my wisdom teeth. Like pliers yanking them out the whole night. Yeah, I drove myself to and from the dentist after having my wisdom teeth removed.
You drove yourself home after the procedure?
Correct. Because I was completely lucid. They didn't put me to sleep. It was a bizarre day for sure.
Yeah, okay. I guess I didn't know that was an option. I thought you had to be knocked out. But anyway, a lot of people were texting in yesterday, their experience. So all the best to Cody today. I'm sure everything will work out great. And we'll check in with him in a couple days. And then he'll be back on the show, we believe, next Wednesday. So Logan and Bink will be filling in off and on over the next week or so. You guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, today, Veterans Day as well. So we want to thank everybody listening that serves our country or have served our country as well. Obviously, a very important day here in the United States. We appreciate all of you for your service and all of you for listening to the show today. I want to start with Xavier Worthy a little bit. We had Andy Reid press conference exclusively here yesterday in the noon hour, and we talked a lot about what he said about Josh Simmons, and we're not going to get back into that today. We'll wait till tomorrow when he speaks again, and maybe there's a little more insight. But we thought it was interesting what he had to say about Xavier Worthy in particular. He was asked the question, in fairness, just, hey, you look at the self-scout, and Logan, how often do you get the ball to a certain playmaker? Do you feel like you need to get the ball more to somebody like Xavier Worthy? Here was his answer.
Well, we try to get them all involved the best we can. Some games you're just going to have that where, you know, they're taking somebody away, and that's how it goes. You know, that's happened, how the coverage goes. That's how the play call goes, so on. know, so but we're not down on Xavier Worthy. We know he's a good player, and we like to get the ball in the good player's hands, you know, the best way we can. So it just hasn't rolled that way.
So that was Andy when he was asked about Xavier Worthy's production. If you're just wondering, what have the last couple games looked like for him? So against Buffalo, now the whole team, of course, was a mess there, particularly the first half, but 3 catches on 7 targets for 23 yards, 1 carry for 7. Against Washington, again, remember, the Chiefs won 28-7, 5 catches for 53 on 7 targets and no carries. And we can keep going back, 4 for 35 the week before that, 1 carry for 13 yards. Some of this, of course, is that Rashee Rice is back in this offense, Logan. But I feel like as much as we've discussed their ability to have the big play back in this offense, a lot of that was with Tyquan Thornton. Yeah. The big play is not really connected down the field with Xavier Worthy. That's the area, if you're asking, like, hey, how do they get him more involved? Even though the rapport, I still think, has been better with Thornton down the field. That's probably the area.
I would say yes. I mean, Tyquan Thornton has a little bit of a physical benefit in those deep route patterns versus Xavier Worthy. He's a bigger, longer wide receiver. He can be a little bit more of a physical presence, and I think that that's led to a little bit more success for him. I would say the thing I've been most shocked by is the lack of using Xavier Worthy in the running game or as an extension of the running game. We've seen them use Rashee Rice in those screen plays over and over and over again since he's come back. They haven't really been using Xavier Worthy in those settings. I see a lot of opportunity to use Worthy in the same way that they use Tyreek Hill at certain points in his career, right? As a guy on those jet touch passes or jet sweeps, a guy coming in motion late, reverses, things like that, where he can use his speed to get out in space one-on-one with somebody and try to beat him down the line. Those sorts of things haven't been happening as much, and maybe it is because you have an embarrassment of riches at wide receiver with Rashee back and Tyquan Thornton and Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce playing better, but it does feel like they are not using him in ways that they have in the past. Even last year, they're not using him in those same ways.
I wonder, and we're gonna have to see on Isaiah Pacheco for this week, but I wonder kind of what you're saying with the run game. To me, if you say that Isaiah Pacheco is out on Sunday, and there's a chance he doesn't play, right. Well, we're gonna find out more tomorrow, clarity on all that with Andy, and the practice reports will start coming out. But let's say Pacheco cannot go, then I think there's even more reason why Xavier Worthy does need to be part of the run game, extension of that. However, what we have also seen, and I love this, and I think long-term for Rashee Rice's career, this is going to be crucial. They're using him a little more in the Deebo Samuel role, right? They're having him as the wildcat quarterback, however you want to describe it, and he's been really effective. He's led to 2 touchdowns, or 1 touchdown, whatever it is, at this point in time for Rashee Rice. So I'm not saying Worthy should be lined up in the backfield, although they do have packages where he can be back there. It's kind of what you're saying, which is the end around, the jet sweeps, et cetera, that if you don't have Pacheco and you've got to manufacture some more ways to get involved, the running game involved, other than just give the ball to Breshard Smith more, I would like that as well.
Yeah, fair.
You know, that's probably something we can get into more later on in the week and stuff. But Xavier Worthy, the receiving numbers, I don't know, like 7 targets? How many more targets do you think he should be getting? It's more about, the run game, and then, can they be more effective down the field? If they target him 7 times and one of them are down the field, can they connect on that? Because 7 targets for my number 2 wide receiver, which I think is what we would all agree he kind of is.
Yes.
That's about right. I mean, you're not getting 12 targets. You're not getting 10 targets. Rashee Rice is going to get the 10, 12 targets. Travis Kelce is going to get the 7 to 10 targets.
Yeah, I would say, and good, bad, or otherwise, while I would like to see Travis Kelce have a little bit lower usage at this point in the season for what he could possibly provide you in January and hopefully a February game in a Super Bowl, he is, because of the rapport he has with Mahomes, because of how proven he is, it's just going to be a factor that Travis Kelce is going to do his thing, especially when teams play zone, when they use those 2 deep looks to try to slow down guys like Tyquan Thornton and Hollywood and Worthy. The middle of the field's going to be open. Travis is going to do his thing. And Rashee Rice is a star in this league. I think that he is the type of receiver who is quietly proving himself to be one of the better options in this league. He's your number one target. He's going to be able to do what he can do out there on the field. He's too talented a player to keep down. It's about, finding, and I hate to say smarter ways to utilize Xavier Worthy, but maybe more effective ways, you know, where those seven targets he has against Buffalo and you're only connecting on three of them, try to get that more towards five or six receptions on those seven targets. And whether that is more small and incremental plays, those screen passes or bubbles, you know, down the field or at the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. or maybe it's a 4-yard drag route across the middle of the field, smaller, more subtle ways to get him involved and give him chances to use his speed to make plays after the catch.
I wonder too, though, let's factor in the dislocated shoulder. How much is that, you know, impacting not necessarily his usage, but just the effectiveness?
Right.
And down the, I don't want to use it as an excuse for why they haven't connected down the field, because this was an issue last year too. It was a rookie year for him, but we all know this, the kind of the field awareness was off. Some of this was also on Patrick Mahomes. Let's be honest, down the field, his deep ball was a little off, but I don't blame Mahomes as much for that this year as I think we could last year. This year, I've seen him connect with Tyquan Thornton, and Tyquan Thornton, what you were saying about his stature, he can go up and get the contested pass. The unfortunate reality for Worthy, one, he's just a smaller receiver to begin with, and then now you're telling me I'm kind of held back by a dislocated shoulder, which, remember, that's going to be the case all year until he has surgery in the off season. Fortunately, knock on wood, he's been able to continue to play while having that injury. But that's the issue, I think, down the field for this team right now, is that Worthy, while the speed and everything is there, I actually think if you're asking me for this offense on Sunday against the Broncos, how do they stretch the field? I think there needs to be, as crazy as this would sound when I've got a healthy Brown and a healthy Worthy and a healthy Rice, I think Tyquan Thornton does need to be slightly more involved. It can't be as simple as, like, he's on the field, so we're going deep. Teams aren't stupid. But at the same time, he's the only receiver that I have seen on a consistent basis at all this year that they can connect deep with. I haven't seen that with Xavier Worthy, and that's probably why a lot of this production talk about Worthy the last couple weeks, again, 23 yards, 53 yards, 35 yards, 20 yards receiving in the last five games for our last four games for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's been kind of interesting to see that it really has only been Tyquan Thornton and Xavier Worthy that they have been utilizing in that deep passing game with relative consistency. We've seen Mahomes connect with Hollywood Brown a couple of times on deep passes, but those were kind of broken down plays that Mahomes extended with his feet, mm-hmm. that it was just sort of backyard football a little bit that he and Hollywood Brown were able to connect, but design deep routes down the field. I would be interested in seeing if you can, you know, kind of split some of that, maybe use Rashee Rice on some of those deep passes down the field, because he and Mahomes have had success with that in the past as well, and try to see if you can get Xavier Worthy some touches deep down the field by having Rashee take away some attention with those deep balls, you know, deep routes up and down the field, maybe using, and I hate to, you know, use decoy as the term, but it feels like Worthy has been used as a bit of a decoy on those deep routes to make room for Rice or Kelsey, maybe some of that to try to get some opportunities for Xavier Worthy in the middle of the field as well.
We'll talk more about this with Nate Taylor. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN, going to join us at 1 o'clock. He does each and every Tuesday here on Cody and Gold. From the text line, 913-586-7965, a few people mentioning, hey, is this the week, though, for them to attack down the field? It will be more challenging. I mean, one texter mentions, hey, how are you going to keep your protection up against that pass rush? That will be a huge part of this game, no doubt. How does Jawan Taylor hold up? How's the entire offensive line? And then the story that we all have been keeping an eye on, is it going to be Jalen Moore on Sunday, or is it going to be Josh Simmons? And as I said yesterday, I would lean right this second that it's Jalen Moore, but that is also with no insight right now on, is Josh Simmons a full participant at practice? What kind of shape is he in? Andy Reid really didn't want to answer that mm-hmm. yesterday. So with that said, right this second, yeah, I would say it's like a 55% chance it's Jalen Moore as a starting left tackle. Can he hold up against Nick Bonita? Remember, some of the best offensive lines in football have struggled against this defensive front for Denver. So there's no doubt, if we're asking, and we will on Friday, like what's the keys to the game and all that, yeah, protecting Patrick Mahomes is going to be at the very top of the list. As much as you want to say get after Bo Nix, I'm not really all that concerned with the Broncos offense. It is more, is the Broncos defense going to wreck the day for Patrick Mahomes to where he has no chance, he's running for his life, he's doing the backyard stuff in a negative way,
yeah,
to where and when he plays in that way, as Cody has said it and we've talked about on the show, you know, that when he plays that way, usually as a team, it's a bad day at the office. So we'll talk more about that here on 96.5 The Fan. But I do want to pivot a little bit to where things stand in the NFL week 11 now. Week 10's in the rearview mirror. It was a terrible game last night. We'll get to the
awful
Tush Push Bowl, as I called it yesterday. Just pathetic. If you were looking for fancy football points, if you bet any overs last night, that was a tough go. That was a tough go for you. Just an ugly football game. And we'll get into some of the officiating stuff again. But where are we at with contenders to win the Super Bowl? Not to win their division, to win the Super Bowl. Because I started this thought yesterday briefly on the show because I was thinking about the Baltimore Ravens and what they've done now. 3 wins in a row. They are right there in a bad AFC North with the Steelers. And are they back in the Super Bowl conversation? And then I was like, okay, well, who is in my Super Bowl conversation at this point? And we were doing an exercise before the show. Like, we were marking down our contenders. We were initially not going to share with each other. I was like, let me try to think it out. And all of a sudden, guys, I was adding like 8 or 9 teams. Like, I can't have 8 or 9. I can't have 8 or 9 Super Bowl contenders. It's ridiculous. Like, that's not, we can't play that game. I feel like if someone says, who do you think are Super Bowl contenders? Who can win the Super Bowl? Do I actually think there's 8 or 9 teams that can win it this year? Is it that wide open? And so then I narrowed it down to 6. I actually think this is a year at this point, heading into week 11, as we're in the second weekend of November, that you can have a much longer list, at least I would, to win a Super Bowl than we've had in a couple years. And a lot of that is we have a Bills team that is a wild card team right now. We have a Chiefs team that's not currently in the playoff field and is 5-4. And then on the NFC side, it just looks so wide open. I mean, mm-hmm. You can make a case for 4 teams in its own right. So, and the text line can chime in here. Who do you think can actually win a Super Bowl right now? So here were a couple of the teams I came up with. I'll admit, I had to whittle this down because it was like 9 initially. So I still think the Chiefs absolutely are on the list of teams that can win a Super Bowl, and that is understanding they are out of the playoff picture right now. The Rams. Matthew Stafford's a co-favorite for MVP.
Yep.
As long as he's healthy, Sean McVay is one of the best coaches in football. They're in a very tough division. The Seahawks actually lead that division, so they right now would have to go on the road, which makes it challenging. But I just think the Rams, if you just look at how they perform with their current operation, with Puka, et cetera, they're one of the best teams in football, clearly can go. Matthew Stafford's won a ring already. I like that in my back pocket. Then I had the Eagles. Some of this is like, while they're so boring to watch, they are very boring to watch. That defense, now add Jalen Phillips, who was great last night, who they just acquired. And we know that the advantage right now with the rules and everything, the tush push gives you on any short yarded situation, the Eagles at some point, I have to look that I know I'm guaranteed a division title already. That division's over. So I know they're getting a home game, and right now they'd be the 2 seed. So the Eagles are on my list. The Packers, I know they have not looked all that impressive. I still believe that the Packers are a Super Bowl contender. Then I had the Bucks. They need to get Bucky Irving back. And then the Buffalo Bills are still on my list. So those are the teams that I have. Seattle is the one that I had on there. I just don't think I can give you 8 teams. I feel like that's cheating. Otherwise, yeah. I want to put Seattle on there.
Yeah, I've got 5 on mine. And all 5 of mine, I believe, outside of 1. 4 of the 5 are on your list as well. I've got the Chiefs on there. It's a prove-it thing for me. Until somebody can show me that the Chiefs aren't going to contend for a Super Bowl, right? I'm not going to bet against 15 when it comes playoff time. The earliest he's ever been kicked out is overtime of an AFC championship game. This defense is still really, really good despite the lack of a pass rush with any consistency and, you know, a very hit or miss running game. It's still Patrick Mahomes. He's got more weapons than he's had maybe in his entire career. I can't go against what they have. The Lions, like you talk, their offense is so good. Jared Goff, the weapons around him, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery are coming off of, I would say, probably their best 1-2 punch game of the year, over 215 combined yards between the two of them on the ground. And their defense is getting healthier. Aiden Hutchinson has kind of hit the ground running after the injury last year. If their secondary can clean it up and get healthy, I think they'll be just fine. I still believe in the Buffalo Bills. I believe that they're incredibly beatable, but Josh Allen's still Josh Allen. James Cook is having the best year of his career. This defense is going to be a problem if you're Buffalo. Their defensive line has pieces, but I'm still waiting on them to put it all together. I have the Seattle Seahawks on my list. I like their 1-2 punch in the backfield with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet. I think their defense is incredibly undervalued across the National Football League. I love what Sam Darnold is doing. And Jackson Smith and Jigba has been the best receiver in football this year. I'm not saying he is. Jamar Chase and Jay Jettis still exist, but he's been the best receiver in the NFL this season
so far.
I like the Seahawks. I still have to give the respect to the Philadelphia Eagles. Are they fun to watch? No. Kind of reminds me of some of those Tom Brady Patriots years where they just won ugly all the time, but all they did was win. That kind of feels like the Eagles a little bit. And then, yeah, I've got the Los Angeles Rams on my list. You talked about the offense. They've got the most underrated defense in the league. Yeah. They have an elite defense where they have star players at all three levels, especially along that defensive line. I really, really like this Rams team.
You have eight?
No, I have six.
Okay, you have
Chiefs,
six.
Chiefs, Lions, right. Bills, Seahawks, right. Eagles, Rams.
All right, Drew, Drew has eight. That's okay. Drew has eight.
This is the thing, though. My argument is that I think there's legitimately, it's that wide open in the NFC. You can make a case right now for five NFC teams to win the whole thing, and I don't think you could be called crazy. So I don't mind if your list is
Nine originally, so I'm not even saying it's crazy. No. I feel like I can't say nine teams, because then it's like, well, no kidding.
Oh, just a quarter
of the
league.
But I'm with Drew initially. I had exactly the amount of teams that you had.
Because I think it sounds weird to say there's eight or nine teams. Of course, you're gonna get the Super Bowl contender, but it feels like legitimately you can make a case for all eight of them, particularly the five across the NFC, very similar.
Who do you have different than? Because we know we all have, obviously, if you have eight, you have a lot of the five we do. So who?
Well, I do not have the Buffalo Bills in there. Okay. I don't trust the defense, and also Josh Allen it feels different. The last 2 years with Josh Allen, just from a performance standpoint, if James Cook is not, pun intended, cooking, then it seems difficult for this offense to do anything. And I think some of that is the wide receivers. Yeah. Some of it is just a mix of everything. But I'm not a believer in the Buffalo Bills at all in terms of winning a Super Bowl or even potentially getting to one. I have the Colts in there just because I think from a constructive standpoint, if Daniel Jones can find a way to not get in the way and be the problem, I think they have a legit shot at making a run at an AFC title game. And if you're in an AFC title game, I think you should be considered as a Super Bowl contender, at least because you're one game away from getting there. I think everything else is similar. I've got the Bucks in there just like you do, Gold. I've got the Packers as well in this bunch. I've got the Rams in there as well. I got the Eagles. I have the Ravens. I don't think you guys have the Ravens in there.
I don't. I can't put them in the Super Bowl conversation.
I think the defense
is very problematic for them. I know they've won three in a row, and that was how this whole conversation started. Is like, should they be back in the conversation? I don't have people on the text line. We'll get to your text in a second. Are saying like crazy for not having the Patriots, and I'll explain it in a second. I would have the Patriots on my list before I would have the Ravens. I would even have the Colts on my list before I would have the Ravens.
Someone says, you're crazy. If the defensive quarterback is questionable, then they're not on the list. Well, then the Bills should not be on the list then?
Well, the quarterback's not questionable.
I know. Or the defense or QB. Defense is questionable in Buffalo.
Allen is the only reason why they're on my list.
I understand. But based on that criteria, I'm curious to see what this person, who is on your list then? Because the Patriots are not on your list. The Colts are not on the list. The Bills are not on the list. The Ravens are not on your list.
Sometimes
how about
the quarterback
if I ask you to narrow it down, if I did force you,
if you made me
to
narrow
it down to four, who are your guys' four then? If I made you go to four.
Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Rams.
Chiefs, Bills, Lions, Rams. I would
Those are my four.
Chiefs, Rams, Eagles, Bills. Because I'm obviously not adding teams from my list. I'm out of my current list, narrowing it down.
Out of my list, I would say Chiefs, Colts. See, I'm almost tempted to just say Chiefs in the AFC.
Yeah, fair.
You know what? Go ahead. Chiefs, Seahawks, Rams, Eagles. Those would be my four. Right. And I think the Chiefs are the only AFC team. If we're talking, I have to narrow it down.
Yeah,
if
someone's saying a lot of Bucks talk in New England, they just beat them. Fair point. My pushback would be the Patriots have to go through Patrick. In my opinion, the Chiefs will still be there. Maybe you think that they won't. I think that the challenge, and maybe this is not how we all look at the conversation differently. Super Bowl contender, I guess, for me, is like, it's do I believe
they can win it or get there?
Well, Super Bowl contender means you're getting a Super Bowl. They can win a Super Bowl? So, I mean, is a contender, if you think they can make an AFC title game, does that mean they're a Super Bowl contender, I guess, is the question.
I think
the Patriots can get to that. My issue is the Bucks do not have to go through Patrick Mahomes and eventually, I think, also Josh Allen. Whereas, like, the Patriots are going to have to go through who you have already, possibly the Colts. To me, I think they'll have to still go through Mahomes. They'll have to still go through Josh Allen along the way. Yeah. On the NFC side, it's so wide open. While we can acknowledge Matthew Stafford is an MVP favorite or co-favorite right now, the path to get there, I don't think, is as daunting. Like, as much as on the Kansas City perspective, we say, man, are you really concerned about the Colts, the Patriots, and the Steelers? No, but at the same time, I still know that even as a wild card that I'm probably going to have to deal with Mahomes and Allen. But I guess that's in fairness to the texter, that's probably a different conversation.
It sounds like it's a quarterback thing more than it is a team
thing.
It is.
Yeah. And Drake May's playing like a MVP candidate. He's a co-favorite. So in fairness, I think the Patriots defense scares me a little bit. Now, if you look across the whole year, you'll pinpoint the Patriots, I think, are like sixth in points per game given up. So across the entire year, you're saying, wait, we're talking about they're a top 10 defense in football. I have some questions still there about like the fact that Drake May in his second year as a starter can go and take them to a Super Bowl. That's part of it. If you look at these other teams that at least are on my list, Chiefs, Mahomes has won a ring. Matthew Stafford won a ring. Jalen Hurts won a ring. Jordan Love hasn't, but he's also not a second year quarterback. Baker Mayfield, not a second year quarterback. Josh Allen hasn't won a ring, but he's an MVP. I guess I am banking a lot of on experience and history on my list than that the young pup is going to come through and get to a Super Bowl. That's all.
The last quarterback to do second year, get to a Super Bowl, is Joe Burrow. So right. I think that's, I mean, it's not like it hasn't happened.
Yeah. Logan, see, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
No,
He sneaks in a little Joe Burrow love.
It might be intentional, but it's also factual. The last guy, it's not like we're talking, it was Aaron Rodgers or something like that. The last person to do it was in 2021. So it's not like it hasn't happened. It hasn't not happened recently, but also you're talking about a quarterback who has been in that top five conversation the entirety of his career, essentially. Where is Drake May in that conversation? You could argue.
This is what he's
entering the chat, if you will, based on how the season he's having.
Yeah, this is what's fun about the conversation. We all differ, right? Like everybody's list is different. Like the Patriots are having a hell of a season, and their schedule, their most impressive win is the one they just had. I'll give you that. It was against maybe the other than the Bills, the best team on their schedule. And honestly, the Bucs, you might just flat out say, are better than the Buffalo Bills from what we've seen as well. And so that was a big deal for me to see the Patriots beat the Bucs because I think their schedule otherwise is so soft. Yeah. The Patriots are on a great path to maybe be the number one seed, depending on how you feel about the Colts. You know, I'm a Colts hater. That's fine. Call me that. Like, I'm just not sold. Jonathan Taylor's incredible, but we see when Daniel Jones is Daniel Jones, he makes all these mistakes. How many turnovers in the last 2 weeks is he?
Seven.
Had? Yeah, seven six were in one, or, you know, yeah, five were in one game or whatever it was. But seven turnovers in 2 weeks. That's the Daniel Jones I know and love. That's the Daniel Jones that is going to come through in January and cost the Colts a playoff game. That's what I'm banking on. That's all.
Yeah, something about teams that I trust in a playoff setting. Yes, I understand the Patriots have a talented roster, but it is a very young roster. I mean, with guys like Travion Henderson and Drake May and Will Campbell, a lot of that defense is younger guys who have not been in playoff settings. And I know Vrabel's been there, and he's going to do his best to get these guys ready to go. But can you honestly look at me with a straight face and tell me that Drake May is capable of beating Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes head-to-head in a divisional round game to get to an AFC championship?
You're saying that beating him in October is different than beating him in January. I agree.
Absolutely it is. I mean, we see it every year. Josh Allen owns Patrick Mahomes in the month of October and November, but he can't hold a candle to him in the month of January. That's just the way it is sometimes, right? Manning was great against Brady in October and November, but he couldn't do it in January. That's just the way it goes sometimes. This guy's never been in a playoff game. That's why I don't buy on him yet. I don't buy on Jordan Love just yet. I roll with teams that have proven quarterbacks who I think are capable of winning playoff games.
We'll get back into this. I know a lot of texts are coming in. We'll talk more about the Patriots in particular. I think that's the example a lot of people are bringing up is, hey, Patrick Mahomes was in an AFC title game in his second year. Of course, he lost to Tom Brady. So maybe you think that Mahomes will be on the road in New England this year, and it'll be Patrick Mahomes beating the young pup in Drake May. Who knows? I'll take that, by the way. That means the Chiefs are headed to a Super Bowl if that's the case. Up next, 100%. Though, let's talk to Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider, about this very conversation. Also, is this a must-win game for Kansas City? His bottom five in the NFL? That's...
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Next.
He's a husband, a dog dad, a first baseman, and a fantasy football commissioner.
Being a commissioner for the league is tough, and I'm really excited. I'm wearing a suit today.
He also likes to fill the bathtub with hard work and Jets tears.
I can't take any more disappointment. That's what he used to say when we watched the Jets games together.
But his most important job is being a Vin FL insider.
I haven't enjoyed a football season since 1969.
On 96.5 The Fan, here's Vinny Pasquantino.
That's right. It's that time of the week where we welcome in Vinny Pasquantino here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you. Drew Nixon, Logan Weber filling in for Cody. Vinny, Cody is out for some surgery. He'll be back in a week or so. And then that got us talking about surgeries. And my co-host today, Logan, said he had his wisdom teeth removed and they did not knock him out, which I thought was crazy. Did you ever have the wisdom teeth pulled?
No, I haven't had them taken out. I don't know why, but I haven't.
Yeah.
Every time I go to the dentist, we talk about it. And it's like, probably not a good time.
Yeah, I was gonna say the off season's all you got.
Yeah, and it's you don't really want to plan things in the off season because you just don't. You want, like, your free time. So no, I've never had them out, but I like watching the videos of people who did get knocked out and are going nuts after their surgery.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't believe Logan was just they just did lidocaine and they didn't actually do the laughing gas or whatever it was.
So thankfully no video like that exists for me.
I wish we had that. I definitely wish we had that. I have to ask, we appreciate you calling in. Where are you? You sound like we caught you in the middle of a tunnel and you're on a boat.
Oh, I'm in my truck.
You're good.
Is this better?
It is, actually. Yeah.
My truck doesn't have very good audio, but my phone does, so I switched it over to speaker.
All right, no, you're good. I thought something was up there, so we're all good. All right, now the Jets, you got to be feeling good, though. The Jets did get a win over the Browns this weekend. And I know last Friday you were talking to Cody and saying, like, yes, everybody wants to talk draft stuff, but you're win all the time there with the Jets.
Yeah, mostly because I invest 3 hours of every Sunday watching them. So I don't want them to lose. That would be miserable for me to try to watch a team lose. I understand why people say it, but I'm not a fan of it. I like watching teams win. So anytime you can get a victory, I'm pretty happy about it. And now everybody needs to watch them on Thursday night against the New England Patriots. So
I wouldn't.
When you add up both of their winning streaks, they haven't lost in 9 games. So.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs fans would love for your Jets to pull off an upset on the Patriots a little bit there.
Yeah, so tune in on Thursday night. Maybe it'll happen. It probably won't, but maybe it will.
All right, Vinny, earlier in the show, we were trying to list like Super Bowl contenders, right? And not necessarily just teams who you believe are capable of like getting to an AFC or an NFC championship game, but teams that you believe are legitimate contenders for hoisting a Lombardi trophy at some point at the end of the year. We each had, you know, very similar lists, 4 or 5. Drew had 8 teams on his list. Can you give us like 4 or 5 teams that you believe are seriously capable of winning a Super Bowl?
Well, I think you start in the NFC and you go with the Seahawks and the Rams and the Eagles. Those would be the 3 for me. And if I'm forgetting anybody in that league, I don't really care. Those would be my 3 from there. And then I'd say out of the AFC, whoever gets the 1 seed, I would consider to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender just because 1 less game. And then the Chiefs and the Bills are who I would say, because they've done it. Not that the Bills have won the Super Bowl before, but they have gotten to the AFC Championship.
Right.
Those would be my teams. The Colts scare me. However, if the Colts do get the 1 seed, like I said, 1 less game, I guess the Patriots are pretty good, but I haven't seen them up close and personal yet, so I'll get back to you after Thursday night when I watch my film on them. But apparently Drake May's been going off, huh? He's been really good.
Yeah, he's a co-favorite to be the MVP in his second year as a starting quarterback. And the Colts thing is, look, Jonathan Taylor has been unbelievable. There's a lot of people that think he should win MVP, even though we know that's a quarterback award for the last decade or so in the NFL. My issue is what we saw the last 2 weeks for Daniel Jones. Like 7 turnovers combined, 6 of them in 1 week. And I'm still always worried. I guess not worried, but I believe the Colts will have a Daniel Jones game. And to your point, that's why I think the number 1 seed is far more important for the Colts to get it than even the Patriots.
Well, I have a ridiculous thing to say. And like I've said for years on this show, with how ignorant I am with football, you cannot take what I say too seriously. But everything I hear and see from coaches and players says you have to be able to run the ball and stop the run in the playoffs because it's cold weather, harder to throw.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really matter for Indianapolis because they play inside. So I don't know how much of an advantage it is for them to be able to run the ball as well as they do, because it won't be cold if they have home games. So teams will be able to go in there and throw the ball. I don't know if that made any sense or not. If there's people listening to this, I'm sorry for disgracing the game that we all love. But that's how I feel.
No, I get what you're saying. My thing has been that I think they need the bye. One, it's obviously, as you said, 1 less game, but the weather thing, meaning like while they can run the ball, I don't know if the Colts operation, though, we haven't really seen it have to travel in cold weather yet. Like, I know people will assume that, well, Jonathan Taylor can run in the cold and Daniel Jones can play in the cold. He played in New York. My thing with them is I want to know what do they look like? Is their offense as good when they have to go play in a cold weather city? Whereas if they're the number 1 seed, it's less games. And what you just said, they don't have to play on the road. So I viewed it as more of an advantage. I get what you're saying, which is if you're a Chiefs offense or any other, let's say there's not really a warm weather city other than the Chargers maybe that are going to make the playoffs, it feels like, in the AFC. But if one of those teams had to go to Indy, it's not as problematic as what you're saying.
Yeah, and also I'm about to get kicked out of Kansas City for saying what I'm about to say.
Oh boy, be careful.
From a casual football fan perspective, not as a Kansas City fan, even though certain former NFL players think that baseball is the only sports that has dynasties, from a casual fan perspective, it would be cool to see another team get to play for a championship. Again, I'd rather the Chiefs win if the Jets can't. But from a national perspective, it could be cool if the Colts randomly get to the Super Bowl. How mad did I just make you right there? Did you hang up on me?
I personally didn't think it was cool.
We should. The text line's not going to like that, Vinny. We're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. Well, then how about, can we agree then the Eagles can stop winning? Because I don't need to see them start a dynasty.
If you think I want the Eagles to win, you're nuts.
Last night, did you watch that at all? That mess of a football game, the Tush Push Bowl?
I have YouTube TV, so I couldn't watch. So shout out to YouTube TV and Disney and ESPN for not being able to allow some consumers to watch. And I will not be getting the ESPN app.
Why don't you get the... So it is ridiculous. I'm with you. And the fact that you have to apply for a $20 credit instead of them just automatically giving you a $20 credit is absolutely insane. But why don't you just go with the indoor antenna? Like, they're like $25 and you plug it right in the old coaxial input or whatever it's called.
I'm going to be completely honest. I don't even know what that means.
Vinny, you just go, it's go on Amazon, HD indoor antenna, and you plug it in the back of your TV and you can get any of the local channels with no delay for free.
Really?
Yeah. That's how
like
I watch
school cable.
Exactly. And so I like it mainly because there's no delay for Sunday Night Football anyway. Well, long before this ESPN YouTube dispute, I watch Sunday Night Football that way. That way there's no delay.
Huh. Now that sounds like a fun idea. I prefer the no delay. I was a DirecTV customer for a long time simply because I didn't want the delay. Okay. I'll look into it.
You should. I think you'll enjoy that part of it. All right. You mentioned dynasties and all that. As a Jets fan, what do you make of the Patriots, though? Because they go from Brady to Mac Jones for a few years, but it looks like they got their franchise quarterback already. Meanwhile, we know what's going on in New York.
I hate it. I'm very hopeful that this new regime of general manager and head coach are able to find some stability within the organization. And yeah, it's not the most fun that I got to watch Brady my entire childhood, and now I'm watching Drake May. And what's even worse is I kind of know him, so that sucks because I like him.
You know Drake May? Can you explain that? How do you know? What's the connection?
Indirectly. I played with his brother in a collegiate summer ball, so I've met him. I don't know him.
Okay.
I was too dramatic there, but I've met him. But he was nice. So, and I have a soft spot for nice people.
There you go.
Interesting. Well, you know, Vinny, we're giving you a hard time over the Drake May thing being a Jets fan. It seems like the Jets are more likely than not going to have a pretty high draft pick coming up in 2026, you know, and I don't know how much you watch, you know, college football or anything like that. It's a little too early to ask this question maybe in the month of November, but is there a quarterback you've seen at the college level that you would like to see maybe be the new potential franchise QB for your Jets?
Well, according to my Madden franchise, we're going to draft Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana. He's 6'5", 240 pounds. How much more could you want? That's all I need to see.
He is going to be one of the top quarterbacks taken. There's no doubt. Yep. Him or Ty Simpson, I think, the kid out of Alabama. Now, the Chiefs, as you know, and we in the past, you have spoken about your hate for the Broncos, and it is Broncos week in Kansas City. This is a must-win game. If the Chiefs have any chance to win the division, they have to win on Sunday, Vinny.
That's adorable that you consider this game a must-win. Must be nice to be considering division games just in terms to win the division, must-win games. All right. They're going to win the game.
Okay. They're going to win.
That's it. They're going to win the game. It's as simple as that. So they're going to win. The Broncos will be 8-3. The Chiefs will be what? 6-4?
Yep.
And then they make their move towards the division. That's me calling my shot right there because
I like it.
As we all know, I'm a Chiefs lover.
Right.
I feel like I've made that clear throughout the years. But more importantly, I'm a Broncos hater. We hate them.
We do, as we're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. Two final questions. One is non-football related. One is baseball. Let me get to your bottom five, though, in the NFL. We do this every couple weeks as well. You gave us your Super Bowl contenders. Give me your bottom five. The Jets get a win. Where are they at now?
The Browns are number one on that list because they lost to the Jets. That was like, I'm very ignorant when it comes to football, but I would think at some point you're probably going to give Shador a shot there.
Okay.
The Jets have no, like, they traded away their two best defensive players. Now, I will say they won the game mostly because they returned a punt and a kick back to back, but still.
They're in there. The Saints are still in there. The Jets are still in there. The Broncos are, of course, in there. And, who else is horrible? I'm going to put the Giants in there since they just fired their coach.
Yeah, they're a mess.
The Titans, and the Titans, of course.
Yeah, it's Cam Ward. It's been rough, to say the least, in year one for one Cam Ward. All right, that's the bottom five from Vinny. Last one for you. Just this is more out of curiosity. I think people wondering here in Kansas City, when they hear all this stuff that's out there with baseball and these gambling scandals and all that, how often do players have that, I guess, discussed, you know, from the league or from the PA, when you see now this Class A stuff and gambling scandals, it's happened in the NBA as well. And is this something that is, there's a point of emphasis every year? Do you know, is it happening more that you guys are being told, hey, remember certain things? I mean, this one seems pretty obvious, but the whole betting aspect of that.
Yeah. I mean, we hear it every year. MLB security comes in and they make it very clear what you can and can't do. And it's pretty simple. You cannot bet on baseball or softball, regardless of if you're playing, not playing, whatever it is, baseball and softball, you cannot touch. You can bet on anything else. So it's unfortunate, that's for sure. Yeah, it hurts more for Cleveland fans because they lost, you know, one of their back end guys, really good pitcher, obviously, and then another guy who was pretty solid too. So I've got no sympathy for it. It's pretty simple. You can't bet on that stuff. I don't know. It's just it's hard to comprehend why they did it. Maybe something was going on, who knows, but yeah, it's unfortunate for them, for the game, for everybody. Just don't do it. Pretty simple.
I would assume as a player, there's no way, like, you face Class A, I'm sure numerous times in your career now at this point. I mean, it's one of those things where you as a player, as an opposing batter, you probably would have no clue that something like that was happening.
No, not even, you'd have no idea. Yeah, there's just no way to even, I don't know, I always assume the best, so I would assume that nobody's ever doing that, but it just, it sucks. It, you know, it taints the game for a little bit, and that's unfortunate, but hopefully we can, hopefully everybody can get through this thing and, you know, get back to playing regular baseball. Not that it wasn't, but it just sucks.
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I think it's, we've talked about just as sports fan, whether we're talking about NBA or NFL, it's like now anytime anything happens, you're going to have some people, not all fans, you're going to have some people wondering, and that's the unfortunate thing, because 99% of what is happening in these leagues that we love and sports we love is all on the up and up. But you have, of course, some bad actors. Here's another example of it. And it unfortunately opens, you know, Pandora's box for some sports fans. I think that is unfortunate, and I can't imagine on the players.
That's the issue with betting on a single pitch,
yeah,
or a single play, is a pitcher can lose a ball at any given time, throwing off the backstop, whatever it is, or a guy could make an error, or a guy can swing and miss, or a guy could take a pitch down the middle. It doesn't mean that they're – like, honestly, that's one of the most common – messages we get from fans nowadays is that we were betting on the game. Like, whenever anything goes wrong, it's like, oh, you sold to Vegas, blah, 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 something like that. It's like, nope. I just grounded into a double play. I didn't want to do that. Like,
do you think
I struck out a few times tonight? It had nothing to do with anything other than it was a tough night.
I hope y'all may be asking this. Like, do you think sports, like, do you think fans should be able to bet though on sports? Because what you're saying, that it sounds like you get, I don't know if you get messages, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you know, people interact with you and are acting, you know, maybe they're upset. I don't know if you ever had that happen because of they lost a bet or something.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's clearly something that makes a lot of money. So it's probably, until something terrible happens, it's probably not going to go away. So I think people can do whatever they want. I think just people need to realize you need to bet responsibly, and you shouldn't be betting enough that you get so angry that you take it out on the players that are out there playing. Like, I think the most pure form of sport is if you're at home or at a sports bar or something and nobody is betting and you're just simply rooting on the teams to win or lose. That's probably the most, like, enjoyable way for me, at least, to watch sports, not sweating out like a over under in a football game and not even paying attention to the game, just paying attention to the bets that I have.
No, I hear you. I hear you, Vinny. Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
Yep. Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Vinny Pasquantino, our NFL insider. Just wanted to get his perspective, obviously, on one of the bigger stories in sports yesterday or Sunday into yesterday with Emmanuel Clase and all that. And what he was mentioning a minute or two ago, it's what we said yesterday, the prop bet aspect of it. And we'll get to an update on that. Major League Baseball actually just yesterday, along with some of the sports books, announced that they're going to implement a $200 limit on certain prop bets. And really, we're talking about the micro bets. And what Vinny was talking about was like the speed of the pitch or that it's going to be a ball, which is the circumstance there with Emmanuel Clase and everything. But appreciate Vinny for joining us here on the show. Coming up in about 12 minutes, we will talk about one of his teammates, Noah Cameron, who finished fourth in the American League Rookie of the Year. I've got something that I don't know if you guys are going to agree with, but I think it's very evident for the rest of the offseason, and Noah Cameron is involved in that. So I'll get to that in just a bit. But Drew, it is that time of the week where we get to a little college football from your point of view.
Yes, it is. And there's a couple things I want to focus on. One of which is the Missouri Tigers. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, but it was more of KU. Let's talk about Missouri. And they're in an interesting spot. Obviously not going to make the college football playoff right now, but they're on pace, at least if they can finish out the season on a high note, to potentially have a third double-digit win season in a row, which obviously would be pretty outstanding. Haven't done it since they joined the SEC. Of course, they made it to a couple SEC title games when they first got in. But my thing is, maybe Missouri fans shouldn't be worried as much about how they finish the season, but whether or not they still have the same head coach here in about a month and a half. I think it's going to be a very interesting month and a half, depending on how this thing goes, where even if they lose another game or two, it feels like now might be the time with all of the jobs that are open, where if Coach Drinkwitz gets that offer from Florida, if he gets that offer from LSU, then he's going to bounce, and all of a sudden, Missouri's in a spot where, not that they have to scramble necessarily, but all of a sudden, they might have to not only deal with transfer portal stuff and deal with trying to maintain players, but also trying to get a coach in who can keep players that are currently on the roster and try to prevent or present a winning program going forward. I think it'll be an interesting month and a half for them.
I think you're going to be sweating it a little bit if you're a Missouri Tiger fan.
I think so.
Yeah, I think that's how I would say. I think you're going to be sweating a little bit given the jobs that are all open, especially as you were alluding to, if somebody like Lane Kiffin decides not to leave.
Yeah, if he stays, then it really opens the door.
Then, I mean, we have to at least acknowledge that he's going to be very high on the list of, maybe already is, by the way, but especially if Lane Kiffin leaves. So, yeah, that'll be the sweat the rest of the way. And I do wonder if, unfortunately, with the injury at the quarterback, the way the rest of the season ends, whether that is losing out, whether it's winning, you know, a couple of these, they got Arkansas still. They should still beat Arkansas, I would think, later on in the year. But they also still have
Mississippi State this weekend, so, then Oklahoma, and then Arkansas.
They could beat Arkansas and Mississippi State still. I doubt they're going to be able to beat Oklahoma.
If not back, then probably. Yeah, it's
and I don't
likely.
Think anybody believes he truly will be back.
Yeah.
Depending on how the year ends, I wonder if that impacts things for Eli, too.
Yeah, I think the biggest factor might be just how far down the line Eli Drinkwitz is looking. One thing that I haven't heard talked a lot about is what the schedule looks like for the Missouri Tigers the next couple of years, right? There's not necessarily what you could consider an easy schedule in the SEC, but by all standards, this past season, this 2025 season, was a pretty relaxed schedule. Next year, in 2026, Mizzou has to go on the road to play Georgia. Mm-hmm. Their last four games of the year, Oklahoma, Texas, Texas A&M, and at Ole Miss. That is a much more difficult SEC slate than they had this past season. And then 2027 is probably even more difficult than that. They play Illinois in a neutral site game in a non-con. They play Bama, LSU, Auburn, Tennessee, Oklahoma, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, and that Oklahoma and A&M game on the road. So if he's trying to, I guess you could say, strike while the iron is hot, while he still is a hot commodity on the coaching trail, you might be staring down the barrel of a 7-5 and 6-6 season next year and the year after, after potentially having three consecutive double-digit win seasons. If you're trying to get one of those marquee jobs in college football, now might be the time if you're Eli Drinkwitz.
Yeah, Dave Aranda let that slip at Baylor. All of a sudden, he might be fired here relatively soon.
Yeah.
Matt Campbell let that opportunity slip. Now he's just hanging in there to go 7-5 every year. So, yeah, maybe strike while the iron's hot. Tonight, you got the CFP rankings released again. Of course, the AP poll does not matter. It's the CFP rankings. It feels like we're going to get a lot of shifting, maybe not necessarily amongst the top schools, but it feels like A&M might jump Indiana. I know that they, of course, won in dramatic fashion. But
A&M should be the number one team in the country.
But I think A&M obviously proved themselves. Ohio State is beating the brakes off of everybody, so I don't know how much or if they move at all. But also, you look at Oregon hanging in there against Iowa. Do they move up or do they move down? Do they stay about the same? Where does BYU end up? Where does Texas Tech jump to? Like, I think there's a lot of shifting that can happen. The ACC is all of a sudden wide open, where Louisville and Virginia, the top two teams in the ACC, lose. It feels like we could get a much different top 25 tonight.
I don't know if you guys agree, and we all know there's another, what, five of these ranking shows or four of them before we get to the actual one that counts. And we get the ultimate 12-team playoff figured out. I think, personally, I would have A&M number one. I just would. I don't think that'll happen, but I personally would have A&M number one. I would have Ohio State two, Indiana still sitting at three. You're like, they're going to move down? I understand it was an awesome ending to the game, but like, they're also, let's remember why they needed that against Penn State.
Right.
You know, as cool as it was, it might help Mendoza's Heisman case in a weird way, but from a team perspective. And then the only other thing, I would have Texas Tech jump Oregon.
Okay.
That'd be the only thing I would shift.
Obviously, the other thing, too, to pay attention to is that group of five deal where you're looking at...
What happened to Memphis? My goodness.
USF and Tulane are probably the better teams. Memphis earlier in the year lost to UAB. Of course, they didn't have Brandon Lewis, the quarterback. They dropped this weekend to Tulane. Feels like Tulane and USF and... Logan's new favorite team, the North Texas Mean Green.
That's your squad now?
They have maybe the best
Eric
story.
Eric Morris and that... Yeah, that
it might be the best story in all of college football.
Cool.
Denton, Texas.
Uh-huh.
I've driven by that stadium before, north of Dallas. Actually, a really nice stadium for a size program.
And then also James Madison, JMU, the Dukes are 8-1. They could potentially be ranked, but that also is a fun race. Speaking of group of five teams or group of six teams, however you want to phrase it, Missouri State, 6-3. They're technically bowl eligible, except for we find out again that there is no allowing of first-year FBS teams to make a bowl game.
Unless... the minimum required number of teams does not reach six wins. If fewer than 82 teams get to bowl eligibility, Missouri State will have an opportunity. There's only 59 teams that are bowl eligible and only 19 that have five wins. So there is still a chance.
Logan and Drew spent about 15 minutes before the show today talking about Missouri State and their chances of somehow finding a way.
You spent half a decade in Springfield. It's going to latch on to you
sometime. You're a Springfield guy. I get it. Now, Drew, I get why you, Logan. I don't know why. Look, we went to Springfield for a road trip. Interesting things happened there. And ever since then, Drew has been 100% on board with Missouri State.
Missouri State's logo used to be my logo when I was in high school. It feels like there's an affiliation there somehow.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. This Sunday, stream the Chiefs and Broncos live at 3:25, then stay for the premiere of the new season of the hit original series Landman, all on Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I want to talk Royals a little bit. Noah Cameron finished fourth in the AL Rookie of the Year last night, and he's the only player that fits a certain criteria for this offseason. I'll explain what that is next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Thank you. You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.